Our opening hymn from the Red Church Hymnal is hymn 136, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist's Cry. The Lord be with you. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service today of morning prayer on this, the third Sunday of Advent. And today in our service, as we welcome also those who are joining us online, we're going to be thinking about how John the Baptist's ministry might impact our lives today. Just wanted to mention a few things in terms of notices for the week that is to come. Hopefully you'll have seen the notices on your way in, but I particularly just wanted to mention tonight at 7 o'clock is our service of 9 lessons and carols. Our worship continues. And on Wednesday morning, our service of Holy Communion. And on Thursday, we have the last of our midweek Advent services at 7:30 as we continue thinking about shepherds and angels at that first Christmas. Next Sunday, Christmas Eve, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, morning prayer at 11, and next Sunday evening at 11 o'clock, we have the First Communion of Christmas. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and during the Sundays in Advent, we have been lighting our Advent wreath, and William and James are going to come and help me to light our third candle on the Advent wreath, as we think today about all those people who made preparations for the coming of Jesus. So I don't know if they're able to come up. Are they with us? This at the back. And Andy might light the candle for them. So each week in Advent, we have been lighting these candles in our Advent wreath. We've been remembering all those preparations which God our Father made for the coming of his Son into the world. And when we lit our first candle, it reminded us of Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and David, who all looked forward to the coming of Jesus. Our second candle reminded us of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Micah, who all told of the coming Messiah. And today we're lighting the third candle. And as we do so, we are remembering John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for the Lord. Amen.
Our service this morning is our service of morning prayer. And if you are following in the Book of Common Prayer, it begins on page 101. But all responses are also on the screen. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm this morning, which we will stand and say together, is Psalm number 126, which can be found on page 745 or on the screen. When the Lord restored,
when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with songs of joy. Then said they among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has indeed done great things for us, and therefore we rejoiced. Restore again our fortunes, O Lord, as the riverbeds of the desert. Those who sow in tears shall reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed, will come back with shouts of joy, bearing.
Please take your seats for the Old Testament reading.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning to read at verse 25. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of the Lord.
During our next hymn, we're going to ask our children and Sunday school leaders to go out to Sunday school. And we will stand and sing together hymn number 195, Lord, the light of your love is shining. Please take your seats.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. John in the first chapter, beginning to read at the sixth verse. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him then, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, 'Make straight the way for the Lord.'" Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize you with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's stand together and declare the truths of our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. A collect prayer for today, this third Sunday of Advent. O Lord Jesus Christ, who at your first coming sent your messenger to prepare your way before you, grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise so prepare and make ready your way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world, we may be found an acceptable people in your sight. For you are alive and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we come to our point in the service where we hear from God's word and God's word is unpacked for us, let's stand and sing together hymn number 616, In My Life, Lord.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There's a sense as we continue our preparations through the season of Advent that we are getting ever closer to celebrating the birth of our Lord. And I want to thank those who decorated our church so beautifully yesterday in anticipation of our service of lessons and carols this evening and our third Sunday in Advent. And I think the church looks absolutely beautiful. So thank you to those who have been involved in those preparations. Also, just to mention that after our service today, people are very welcome to a cup of tea or coffee over in the hall after our service. Somebody else was telling me about their preparations for the season of Christmas, and they said to me, "We know that Christmas has begun in our house when we all sit down together to watch a Muppets Christmas Carol." So if that's part of your preparations again, maybe you have done that by now. And for lots of, as you drive around the town and you see lots of Christmas trees and lights, there's that sense of more and more anticipation as we draw ever closer towards Christmas Day. Some years ago when I was doing a course in ministry, I was invited to take part in an interesting exercise. And we were asked to go in groups to two quite big provincial towns in Northern Ireland and to try to get a spiritual feel for these particular towns. And what it involved was taking a notebook and wandering around wherever you felt led and observing different activities and conversations that you were part of. And as I wandered the main street of that town, the first place that I was drawn to explore was a bingo hall. And around 60 people had piled into that bingo hall on that particular afternoon. It was a midweek afternoon. And outside the door upstairs was a poster. And it invited me and anybody who read the poster to parenting classes in a local community center. And then when I wandered further around the town, I wandered down the street and I came to a church. And the church had a big poster outside the gate. And the poster said, and you'll probably be familiar with posters like this, it said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And as I looked at the poster, the doors of the church were all locked, and there was no number to phone, and the gates were chained. And so I left under the impression that in this particular town, there was perhaps better news to be had in the bingo hall, which offered to help me with the challenges of parenting rather than the local church. What if I had wanted to seek the Lord? How would I have gone about it? And maybe that sounds unduly harsh or critical, but on this third Sunday in Advent, as we encounter John the Baptist and his life and his purpose as they're set out before us in John's Gospel, they tell us a challenging story. John came, we're told, with one particular purpose, to be a witness to the light that was coming into the world, Jesus Christ our Lord, so that through him all people might believe. Last week, when I was delivering some invitations to our Christmas services and delivering our Christmas card, I went to visit a lady in a nursing home. And she loved the illuminated tree that was on the photo on the Christmas card with the church in the background. And because she finds it hard to read, she listened as I read the card to her. And her observation was, "You have brought the light of Christ to this place today." It was a beautiful thing to say. And it reminded me that as God's people, all of us, whether we wear a collar or not, we carry the light of Christ within us. And John pointed to this as he prepared the way for the Lord. One of the biggest challenges that I encounter as a minister of the gospel is the challenge to preach God's word week by week. And John the Baptist is so simple and so direct whenever we listen to him. As he tells us this morning, your primary job as a minister or as a member of the congregation of St. Finian's Church is to point others to Jesus. And so what does that actually mean for you and for me this morning? As we think of John the Baptist and the way that he proclaimed Jesus, I think it involves a look at some aspects of our lives. And the first one that I want to suggest is the significance of the words that we use and the way that we communicate. One of the hardest things to do if our faith is important to us is to communicate our faith, particularly to members of our family, to friends, or to school or work colleagues who don't share our beliefs. And one of the really important things that I'd like to suggest is keeping the lines of communication open with all these people, and specifically praying for opportunities to say even a word or two into a particular situation. And so without bombarding people or shoving a message down their throat, it's amazing how God gives us little windows or opportunities to have really significant conversations. Even a simple question like, "What did you get up to over the weekend?" offers us an opportunity to say if you went to church or if you watched a service online, or maybe even to say a little bit about what you found or what you experienced when you went to church. My general rule of thumb is to only respond with faith matters if I am first asked a question, or if in the course of conversation I ask a question that evokes an interested response. It's a good opportunity to speak about those things. And sometimes the flip side of the words we use and the ways that we communicate is when we're silent. So if, for example, we're part of a group and there's malicious gossip going on in the conversation, by not joining in or by excusing yourself from that conversation, you can say some very important things in a non-verbal way. It was St. Francis who once famously declared, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." And that leads me on to the other area of our lives we need to look at carefully in pointing others to Jesus. And that's our actions and how we treat other people. And it's a challenging area of our lives to look at, because often, even without meaning to, we can exclude people or we can hurt them by not involving them in various things that we're doing. Sometimes we feel that people have let us down, and it's very easy to cast those incidents up whenever we want to hurt that person. It's not wrong to sit them down and to explain to them how much you feel they've hurt you or let you down. But perhaps Jesus is more clearly shown in the way that we move on and we seek to offer them a fresh start, even though that's an extremely painful and costly thing for us to do. And sometimes, rather than have that difficult conversation, we brush over things and we haven't actually dealt with them. And that can leave a residue of hurt and bitterness. When we look at John the Baptist in our gospel reading this morning, he offers the people a ceremony of baptism, a concrete action that allowed people to show that they had made a fresh start as they heard about the one who was to come. When I was a student, I remember one time speaking to a nurse in Uganda who cared for people who were dying of HIV and AIDS. And as I traveled with her for a day and she entered into the squalor and dirt of people's homes who were so ill, I asked her how she did what she did every day. And she said to me very simply that she did it because Jesus had shown his love to her, and she now wanted others to know that love. And she did an incredibly beautiful and powerful way of communicating it without using many words at all. So it's primarily in the ordinary things of life that you and I communicate to others that we are his. It is those phone calls, text messages, cards. It's those meals that are dropped in, those prescriptions that are picked up. It's those very generous responses that church people have made in terms of time and financial resources and prayer. All those things speak incredibly powerfully into the darkness around us. These are very difficult times for many people, and the church has responded in a very sacrificial way to show that it's not all about us. And our concern for the wider community, both at home and further afield, is a significant pointer to the place of Jesus and the values of his kingdom. So let's strive with all the power that's available to us to be a community who points people, just like John did, to the one who is to come, the thongs of whose sandals, he said, he was not worthy to untie. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for those important lessons that we can learn from the life of John the Baptist about being pointers to Jesus. And so we ask you to help each one of us to be thoughtful in the words that we say, in the actions that we do, in taking the opportunities that present themselves to point others to you. Help us not to get disheartened by mistakes that we've made in the past, but give us ways to communicate very simply and very naturally how important you are to us. And we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we pray this morning for all who find themselves embroiled in war, in Gaza and Israel, in Ukraine and Russia. We pray for those whose daily lives have become impossible, without food and water, without electricity and medical supplies. We pray also for those whose loved ones are being held hostage. We ask for them to be released in safety. And we pray for ceasefires and negotiations to take place that can save lives, and for the right people to get involved both locally and internationally in order for those talks to succeed. We look to you for help and for inspiration. In Jesus' name, amen. And we pray for the sick, the poor, and those in any kind of trouble. We remember this morning all who have financial worries at this time of year, those who can't afford heating and electricity and other essentials. And we pray for agencies with whom we have links, like the Larder Food Bank and Christians Against Poverty, in their work of offering support and assistance to those who are in terrible need in these difficult times. We also want to pray this morning for all those known to us who are undergoing treatment at this time. We ask for help and healing for them and for their families as they support them. May you continue your healing work and surround those who are in our thoughts with your presence and your love. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
So then, as we consider how our lives would point to Christ this Advent time, let's stand and sing together hymn number 134, make way for Christ the King.
Thank you.
Let's close with a blessing prayer. May God direct you this week. May he direct your words, your silences, and your actions. And may all we do point to the gospel of Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, is hymn number 124, Hark the Glad Sound.